Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We are, though, two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we are not experts. We are just podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And if you are not tired of our voices yet, you can hear us on our current daily podcast, Here For You. And we also would love for you to check out the podcast we produce, Gee Thanks Just Bought It, hosted by the amazing Caroline Moss.
Indeed. Let's get into it, Kate.
I love this first question.
I loved it too.
Can't wait to hear what you think. Okay, Dori, a listener wrote us, and they wrote this today, and I was like, oh, this is going in. I've been meaning to ask this for some time. I'm around the same age as you guys, 41, and I do not get Instagram. You both seem very well versed in it, and I could use some pointers. How do you find interesting people to follow? What do you look at when you're on there? Whenever I open the app, it seems to just be dominated by endless photos of friends' dinners and heavily filtered landscape photos. Half the time, when I hear you refer to a post you made, quote, on the gram, I can't find it when I go to your pages. Lest I sound like a Luddite, I'm actually an engineering professor.
Aww.
You don't sound like a Luddite. I think sometimes there are apps that are hard for our brains to kind of jive with.
Yeah. And like, I feel like Instagram also added on features gradually. So if you'd been using it for a while, you could just sort of like know what the new feature was. But if you're starting from scratch, it could seem overwhelming. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because I've been on Instagram since 2010.
Same.
When it was just like some photos you put up with a filter, and now it's like stories and Instagram influencers and feeds and
messages
live and Instagram TV. Yeah, so it is there is actually a lot going on for an app that seems fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
I think, how do you find people, cool people to follow? There is an explore tab, which is that little magnifying glass in the bottom. But I don't know if that's always, I actually kind of like to look and see like who people I already follow or people who I think are interesting are following.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
How do you, aside from like friends and celebs?
Yeah, I was trying to think how I found people. Sometimes it's people who are tagged in people's photos. I'm like, oh yeah, that person's interesting. And you can see if someone has tagged someone in their photos, you'll see a little icon in the lower left-hand corner. It's just like a black circle with a white person inside. And if you just tap the photo, the tags will come up. And I feel like sometimes that's how I find people. People mentioned in stories, the stories are all along the top of your feed in the little circles. And if you go to someone's profile and they have the circle around their profile photo is a color, then you can click on the circle and that means they have stories that you can watch.
Yeah. And stories are kind of, you know, I'm wondering if when you've said we've referred to a post and then you can't find it, if it's because it's something we put in our Instagram stories and those all disappear after 24 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say that is an interesting feature, and this might be helpful on the other end, is that when you unfollow someone, Instagram will tell you similar accounts that you follow.
Yes.
So
that's a good one too.
Yeah. So you can, like, let's say you were following a hat influencer and then you're like, I'm done with this hat influencer. This person's really big in the hat world. And
a hatfluencer, if you
they're
will.
A hatfluencer. Thank you, Dora. Yeah, that's the proper term. And then you unfollow them, and then like 10 other hatfluencers that you follow, or maybe like a shoefluencer, will pop up. Mm-hmm. And you can also be like, oh, I'm done with all of them. But I will say, listener, like, maybe also Instagram's not for you, and that's okay. Like, one of my best friends is still not on Facebook because she just was like, no, that's not, she's on Instagram, but she's not down with Facebook. It's just not for her. So
yeah, that's also, I mean, okay. That's kind of how I felt about Snapchat. I was just like, you know what? I don't love this. And I just was like, no, and stopped using it.
Yeah. And then think of all the free time you're going to have.
Yeah, because you're not on Instagram like everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. But if our listeners have other tips or thoughts, weigh in. If you have any great follows on the gram,
let us know.
We could put together a follow list.
Oh.
You know, but it's so subjective.
It is.
You know?
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, does everyone want to be following contestants from the like 2007 season of The Bachelor? I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I mean, maybe.
I do a lot of Bachelor contestant perusing on Instagram. That is for certain. All right, Dory. We received another email about a very different topic. This was actually kind of like asked to me, but I think you will be able to answer this as well. So just a quick question, if you wouldn't mind. I was listening to the Forever 35 episode with Jen Gotch, and I heard you mention that you're taking medication for your anxiety. This is me specifically. I've been thinking about trying medication for some time now, so it's really helpful to hear people's journeys regarding this. I know that you've struggled with health anxiety, which I also do quite badly. I'm wondering if medication has helped this aspect of your anxiety. It can be really hard to find people who specifically struggle with health anxiety, so I'm just so curious to know if medication has helped. I've tried CBT therapy, and with the whole pandemic, plus a mom who was diagnosed with cancer last year and a father who died from cancer 8 years ago, I'm having a hard time dealing with this just through talk therapy / all the other quote natural stuff. Yeah. I mean, I would say please, if you have access to a great psychiatrist who you trust, work with them to find a medication that's right for you, because we are all so different. Our makeups are different and our needs are different. I do have anxiety. I also have OCD. I also possibly might have ADD. I haven't fully gotten that one figured out yet. But so like different, I can take certain medications that somebody else might not work for someone else. Yes, it has helped with my health anxiety, but also meds combined with consistent therapy. I think you need both personally. And that's like what my psychiatrist was like, you need to be in therapy for these like the medicine can help for sure, but I think I also had to be doing kind of consistent work on it. Dory, you take is it an SSRI technically?
No. Butrin is not an SSRI. And I don't take it for anxiety. It has also been used to help people stop smoking.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it under a different name.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think to this listener, I'm an individual and you're an individual. So don't do what I do. You need to consult a doctor clearly. But I can tell you that, yes, it has helped me personally with therapy as well. So I hope you find some relief and get some support for that.
Yeah, same. All right. Shall we hear a voicemail?
Yeah. So these two voicemails kind of, they're a little similar. So we're going to do a little bit of like chat about how the podcast is made.
Hi, Chat and Dora. This is Emma calling from Boston. And it was so incredible to hear Madeline Albright on your podcast. I like shrieked to myself when I saw her name on the episode. And I think I would love to learn more about how you wrote the interview questions and just hear more about like a debrief of what it was like to speak with one of the most prominent politicians in the world. And in general, too, this is just like constructive criticism for the podcast. I think it would be great to just get a little bit more debrief from your interviews after they end and before you switch to the intentions. I think that reflecting on, what you've learned and kind of your key takeaways is something that I would really love to hear more. So thank you guys. And of course, love the podcast. Bye.
Well, thank you for the question.
Yeah. And thank you for the feedback. We definitely will take that into consideration. I will say the way most of the time we have done the interviews before we record the rest of the podcast episode that you are hearing. But occasionally that isn't always the case, which is why we may not reflect as much, I would say. Would you say that's right, Dory?
Yeah. I mean, also the way that we edit them, we re-listen to the interview at the same time that we listen to the rest of it. So sometimes we're recording our like reaction to something that we recorded like 2 weeks ago, and I don't always like remember my key takeaways. So maybe, I mean, one thing we could do is like listen to the interviews again before we record.
That's a good point.
And then we wouldn't have to listen to them another time, when we do our main edit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
all right, we'll try to figure that out. How did we prepare for the Madeline Albright interview?
Well, we read her new book.
Mm-hmm. We read a lot of press on her.
We read a lot of press.
Watched a lot of videos.
Yep. Read profiles of her.
Felt nervous.
And also kind of tried to think about like, what are some questions that most outlets interviewing her don't ask? Like, that was partly why she wanted to, well, her publicist wanted her to come on our show, because we're not asking her like foreign policy questions.
I mean, Dory and I did have 30 foreign policy questions lined up.
We just
up.
Didn't get to them.
We couldn't ask them all. We know us as experts on foreign policy. Yeah. And I think in reading her book, I think we both tried to look for things like the things she mentioned and figure out how to talk about them in a way that relates to what we talk about on our show, right?
Like, yeah,
there's a way to hopefully make it applicable to our the kind of Forever 35 vibe, which she was so wonderful and so game for. And her, and we should say too, like that interview, some interviews we reach out to people, other interviews, they or someone who works for them reaches out to us. So she was promoting a book, and her book publicist is who reached out to us. We got that email and we were like, what? Yes. Yeah,
and we're also like, uh-huh.
That was one of those, like, it lands in your inbox and you're like, did this go to the right place?
Yeah.
But it did. And we really, we were thrilled to do it.
Yeah, so thrilled.
We have another podcast production voicemail, Dory.
Hey, Kate and Dory. I love listening to the Here For You show. I do it on my walks, listening to one right now. And I had a question about how you guys make your podcast. If you like write a script out, or if you ad-lib a lot of stuff. Sorry, there's wind. I was just always curious about how that works. What do you cut out, if anything? So thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day, evening, I don't know. All right, bye.
We don't write a script, but we do write an outline.
Yes. And we have things that we say as intros and outros for the different podcasts that we make. So if you've listened to all three of the podcasts we make together, you'll notice, like, you know, we have a Every Day for Here for You, for example. Dory creates a new sheet and has it says, you know, we say the same kind of things up top. And then we do go in and fill out different sections to kind of, like you said, Dory, outline what we want to talk about. Everything else is just banter.
Just us gabbing.
Just gabbing. I mean, though we do try to structure, you know, every episode is structured. Like, and I, for example, I create the mini episode documents and I do try to have the topics flow and balance out voicemails versus emails. And we do kind of know how long it is until we take an ad break. So things are definitely structured, for sure. And but loosely in a way so that we can let the podcast be as organic as needed, because I think that's what we enjoy most about doing it.
Yeah, and we want it to sound natural. Like, I think there's a place for scripted podcasts, but I personally don't love listening to conversational podcasts that sound scripted.
Yes, and we do edit things down, and mostly for time, but we do not, as you'll probably notice, take out the ums and like the uhs and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And with editing, we Dory and I each listen to the kind of raw episode, and we compile our edits and notes, and then we send those to Sammy, our producer, who then takes it and makes all the edits and sends it back to us.
And that's how the magic happens.
That's the behind the scenes. As uninteresting as that might have, that sounds, but it is fun to do, I will say.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that question, though. I appreciate curiosity.
Yeah, same.
Let's take a pause, Dory.
Let's do it.
Because when we come back, we're talking scalps.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that, like, what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just, like, so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And, like, within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that.
This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code Forever 35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
All right. Dory?
Yes, Kate.
We discussed scalp cleaning on a mini episode, and we received a couple emails and some thoughts, and we're just going to do a whole little scalp head skin zone here. Do you want to take this first email?
I would love nothing more. All right. I'm not an expert, but one of the things I would mention to Dory is if you don't wash your hair every day, you might still need to do a deeper cleanse every once in a while. I have very curly hair, so my situation is a bit different, but I don't shampoo every day. I use conditioner if my hair gets wet, but not on my scalp. When I need a deep clean, I use something like the Carol's Daughter Wash Day Delight, which basically washes your scalp without stripping it of oil, etc. When you don't wash often, your scalp can get product buildup and just get kind of dry, which leads to the problems you're mentioning. But probably best to go with a rec from a dermatologist over me, a random listener. Another product I've been loving, but again, curly hair, is the scalp oil from Curlsmith, the Scalp Stimulating Booster. Since I avoid washing my hair often but still style it and put product in it, my scalp can get kind of itchy and dry. This oil is like a godsend. I used it every day for a while, but now every other day. So this is just to say that you might need to find the right balance of washing and conditioning and styling, et cetera, that works for you. But hair is about balance, so it could be that washing once a week or whatever you're doing just doesn't work for you. I can't do the full preferred curly routine because my hair can't handle it. The preferred method is washing like once every 2 weeks or once a month and avoiding getting it wet. So you just have to find what works for you. And she linked to a couple of products that we will link to in our show notes.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a deep clean?
No.
I'm intrigued by a deep clean.
Yeah, I would love to hear from someone who has hair that is more similar to mine about what product they use, which is like straight and fine and kind of oily.
Okay.
Like this person who wrote in, I really appreciate the suggestions, but her hair is like
very different.
Total opposite of mine. So I'm just a little skeptical that what works for her is like going to work for me, but I appreciate the suggestion. So thank you so much.
Here's another a listener tip and a product rec. And I should note that their email subject line was heal all scalps. They write, I have just healed up the worst scalp issues I have ever had, a combination of significant eczema flare-up and a nasty case of seborrheic dermatitis that developed after the birth of my son 14 months ago. I ran the gamut of shampoos, treatments, masks, vitamins, you name it, with little success. It seemed everything I tried either provided short-term relief before these issues flared up worse than before, or didn't seem to work much at all. And then 2 months ago, the heavens parted, and I came across the Goop G-Tox Himalayan Salt Scrub Shampoo. At first, I was hesitant to spend $42 on a shampoo, which is about four times what I would normally spend on my previously healthy scalp. But I also recognized that I had reached a point of desperation and was already throwing so much money on a variety of treatments that weren't working, so why not? This ended up being the best money I have ever spent. My eczema flare-up is completely healed, and the seborrheic dermatitis is 90% gone, and I am currently dealing with only a tiny bit of residual dandruff that is a common result of these issues. But even this is diminishing with each passing week. I can't tell you how good it feels to run a brush through my hair and not be in complete agony. I wash my hair every fourth day and use only this scrub, massaging my scalp for several minutes, and follow it with a tea tree conditioner on my ends. It builds up the most satisfying lather and smells like a spa. While this product is not directly advised as a solution to these problems, this is exactly what it was for me. I cannot recommend the scalp scrub shampoo enough. At first, I viewed the scrub as a temporary guest in my showering routine, but it has since worked its way into my heart as a holy grail, and I will continue purchasing for the spa-like experience alone. I hope this can be of some help to others suffering from scalp issues.
Wow.
Well,
that is quite an endorsement, my friend.
I had to share this because this person was shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes.
I have never tried a Goop product before, Dory. Have you?
I have not.
Is this the way we break our seals?
I mean, possibly.
I was intrigued. Like,
this person's skin issues sound a little more similar to mine, which does make me more intrigued. So,
it's quite a mouthful, the title. Goop G-Tox Himalayan Salt Scalp Scrub Shampoo. Salt Scalp Scrub Shampoo is a lot. That's like a tongue twister.
Oh, it is.
And it is indeed $42.
Which is, you know, a pretty penny.
Woof, for hair shampoo. Care. For anything, yeah. Really. But yeah.
For anything. Yeah.
But now, of course, I'm intrigued.
Right.
Okay. So. Listener, I love the rec. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Okay. Well. We'll try it.
We will.
Dory, we have a voicemail on folliculitis.
Yes, let's hear it.
Hey, y'all. My name's Caroline, and I call a lot. First-time caller. Just kidding. But, listen, first of all, I always am listening to this podcast when I'm in the shower, and then, like, I hear you guys talk about something that I must discuss, and I, like, jump out of the shower, like, shampoo still in my hair and dial you. So I just thought you'd appreciate that content. But anyway, so... Since Dory mentioned folliculitis on the scalp, I just wanted to point out that sometimes what we consider acne on our body could also be folliculitis. So before my wedding, I had like horrible like pimples, what I thought were pimples all over my chest and back. And I had normal acne on my face too. So I had no reason to think that it wasn't just acne, but it wouldn't go away with any of the treatments that my dermatologist was giving me. And she finally suggested that maybe it was indeed folliculitis. And I guess it's caused kind of like the same thing, like the yeast in a yeast infection, because she gave me a tablet that is usually given to patients with yeast infection, and it knocked those suckers off my body like in a week, and they've never come back. And she told me to use, I think, a similar shampoo that you use for like folliculitis. I use that every once in a while just to like make sure everything's staying controlled on my chest and back. But like, honestly, nothing's ever popped back up. I think maybe it came about when I was a teenager and was on swim team and constantly sitting around sweaty and in a bathing suit. But anyways, yeah, I just wanted y'all to know that like folliculitis, it's worth getting it checked out if you have like body acne in addition to scalp acne. I would go to the derm, of course, when all of this is over and we're able to go back to the doctor and see what they can do. Of course, I'm no doctor, but just wanted to put that out there as something you might want to bring up with your derm if you have body acne that is just like not going away no matter what you use. So, all right, hope you guys are doing well, enjoying all of your podcasts right now. They're kind of all blending together. I'm just like, my world is Kate and Dory right now, especially when I'm in the shower. So, all right, y'all, take care. Bye.
Fascinating.
I just want to say, I hope this listener hears their voicemail played while they are in the shower.
Yes.
That will be so full circle. Interesting, right?
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you for this hot tip.
Hot tip.
And thank you for calling and thinking of us in the shower. Thank you for bringing us into the intimate parts of your home and your life.
Yes. What a nice way of putting it.
So we have one last hair-related voicemail, and this listener called in and they didn't know which podcast it should be for, so we decided it was a mini-episode question, and they've got a hot question for us and maybe for all our listeners that we must answer.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is a question for the Here For You podcast, I guess. Maybe it's for over 35, but I am thinking about shaving my head in quarantine. And I wanted to know if I should do it. I realize that you don't know what I look like or anything about me at all, but just a little bit of pertinent information. I had a baby a year ago. After I had the baby, I lost a lot of hair, and it's just starting to come back now, and it's maybe about 2 inches long. My hair in general is maybe 8 inches long, and it comes to about my chin. And I guess I'm just wondering if this is a bad idea or not. Should I shave my head in quarantine? What do you think? Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
What do you think, I mean, Dory?
I feel a certain obligation to this listener. I don't want to steer her wrong.
I know my answer. I knew my answer the second she asked.
I mean, look, I think you should do it.
100%. Like,
when else are you going to do it if not in quarantine?
Yeah. I mean, like, experience it. You may love it, and that might be your hairstyle forever or for a long period of time. But yes, dude, go for it. Enjoy it. Yeah, that sounds great. And I think if being in this space where we are home and not going about our normal routines inspires people to try new things with their appearance or their fashion or whatever, like, yeah, that's like, that sounds really interesting. And I think you should do it. It'll probably also feel good. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Especially, it's been so hot.
It's so freaking hot. Now, maybe you don't live where we live, but it's going to get hot through many places in the world in the next few months.
Yeah.
Buzz it off. Send us a video and a photo.
Yeah.
Do please. It live on Instagram and we'll come watch. We are
do
we
all
are,
of those things.
We are here for your hair shaving.
Oh my gosh, we are so here for your hair shaving.
I love that question. Good luck. I can't wait to see how it looks. All right, let's take another break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Dory,
We're
going to shift gears.
Great.
This last segment of this mini episode. And we're going to go into the relationship zone.
Okay, I'm ready.
I talk a lot about zones, don't I? I do a lot of zone referencing. Okay, so I will read this first email from a listener. I am wondering what to do about the fact that my husband and I have vastly different ways of, quote, relaxing. I have always known that we differ in how we unwind, but being home together during the pandemic has heightened my awareness of the difference. I am mostly relaxed when I have an empty or checked off to-do list, while he is happy to veg out in front of a movie or video games. Further, I actually enjoy being busy and doing projects around the house. Today, I have baked bread, sanded and put a second coat of stain on the coffee table I'm building, repotted plant seedlings for the garden, and did a living room tidy up. He has watched a movie and some HGTV and done a bike workout. I am trying to list these activities without judgment. They are all perfectly good ways to relax and have downtime. I have enjoyed today so far and didn't feel like anything I was doing was a chore. I get in my feelings, though, when I think about how my free time activities usually contribute to making our home a better place, while his activities are materially unproductive. I'm not sure what to do because I genuinely enjoy working on projects and don't want to trade that time for TV time. I also don't want to impose my way of relaxing on him because he deserves to express his relaxation self in his own way. I end up resenting him a little bit, though, because when I look around the house, I see the fruits of my relaxation labor, while he has made a good bum imprint on the couch cushions. How can I manage these feelings of resentment? P.S. I should be clear that he does contribute equally to the necessary household tasks like laundry, cooking, and dishes. P.P.S. I just want to add, this was a second email they sent, but I have attached it as a PPS, lest it come off as a humble brag, that I do enjoy Netflix binges from time to time, especially British crime dramas.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
This is so interesting.
This is interesting.
I'm not even sure where to begin.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one because I couldn't tell what the actual... I wasn't sure what the actual issue was, I should say. Like, is the issue the fact that you feel like his downtime activities don't contribute to the household, or do you want to be spending more time with him and you wish that you had like similar interests?
I was wondering if the thing was like, he's not recognizing her for the contributions. Like, do you just want to be seen a little bit more for what you are adding?
Also, great question.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
This is a day. I mean, baked bread, sanded and put a second coat of stain on the coffee table that you're building. Not even just a coffee table that's like laying around. A coffee table you're building. Repotted plant seedlings and tidied your living room. I mean, that is, you are a person who enjoys engaging mentally and physically. That's how you relax. I think that's awesome. And it's equally awesome that he has figured out his own thing, which is watching HGTV.
Well, and I guess my question is, like, if you feel like he does contribute to the household with, like, laundry, cooking, and dishes, the things that you're doing, do you feel like these are things that need to be done or that you want to be done? And if, and follow up to that, I think it's like you want him to want to do it. And I don't think he's going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, like, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you asked him, hey, could you help me tidy up the living room? He would probably say, sure.
Yeah.
But he's not going to think of that himself. And so I guess the question is, like, how much fulfillment do you feel like you can get just doing these activities on your own? Or do you really feel like for that fulfillment, you need to share them?
Because maybe there are, you could say, like, let's do the dishes together every night and chat.
Yeah.
And not make it as your relaxation thing, but like the kind of home maintenance that you must do together as a couple to maintain your living space.
Yeah.
Because also you seem like you're really thoughtful about it. Like, I understand totally. That you feel like you are resenting him a little, but like you also are very clear on who you are and what your needs are and what his needs are, and you respect the differences.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's common ground where you can like let home maintenance be a thing you both do together, and maybe you can put all this amazing energy you have that relaxes you towards other projects, like other projects that don't have to be about the house too. Like, what if you like took up pottery?
That's a really good point. That's a great point, Kate.
You know, or you could like, it just seems like you are a very driven person and that soothes you, and you could channel that towards lots of things.
Mm-hmm. So. Does he want to be doing the activities he does to relax with you? Or is he just like perfectly content to do those on his own?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder that too. I'd love to hear what listeners think about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both have fairly different relaxation hobbies from our partners.
Definitely.
Wait, did I say that right? I did, right? Like, I'm different from Anthony, you're different from Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't always do relaxation things together. But I can see how if, like, one of us relaxed by cleaning the entire house, I would be, and the other one relaxed by, like, doing crosswords, I would be annoyed.
Right, right.
Tricky stuff.
Tricky stuff.
All right. We've got one final email here for this mini app.
We do.
Dory, I would love your dulcet tones to take this one away.
All right. Here we go. I'm writing in to ask you and the Forever 35 community for some advice. My boyfriend of over 3 years is about to start training as an officer in the British Army. I do not know how the American military system works, but in the UK, you do your military training over a year consisting of 3 14-week terms with a 3-week break in between each term. And then you choose your regiment and stay there for a minimum of 3 years. This is where you live on a military base and get deployed. I'm having a very difficult time coming to terms with the fact that he will be away for so long. We are both very committed to each other and have both said we want to spend the rest of our lives together. However, I'm not a big fan of the Army. I respect other people's views on it, but as someone who has grown up with medical professionals, I'm very much of the opinion of do no harm, and working in the military can blur that line sometimes. I'm supportive of him pursuing what he wants to do and want him to reach his potential, but I cannot say I fully agree with the profession. This is something I'm trying to come to terms with and listen to the opinions of others who are pro-military, so some words of positivity would be really helpful. I'm also very heartbroken about how much time we will have to spend apart. I currently feel as if I am mourning all of the time we will not spend together, from friends' weddings, birthdays, and dinners out to the small things like cooking together and watching TV after work. We are already planning holidays and activities we can do together when he is on leave, so we can make the most of the time we have together. But I was wondering if either of you or any Forever 35 military wives/girlfriends have any tips on how to cope with this transition and things I could do when he is gone to make me feel less alone. Finally, I'm putting together a going away pack to help him not feel so homesick. I will be including his favorite hot sauce, an eye mask and earplugs to help him sleep, a small bottle of my perfume, and a mini photo album. But I was wondering whether you guys have any other ideas of what to include. Sorry for the long email. To summarize, here are my three topics of discussion. I'm struggling with the concept of him working for the military and what that may entail. I would like some advice on how to adjust to not being with him for long periods of time and suggestions on what to include in his homesickness first aid kit.
I have never loved an email more than an email that then summarizes at the bottom what the email is about.
They're like, please address these topics.
I loved that. I loved that so much. And oh my gosh, this sounds so hard.
Really hard.
Yeah. Well, first, Dory and I are not partners to anyone in the military. So
no,
we cannot speak to that specifically, but I'm hoping someone who might be listening could. Struggling with the concept of him working for the military and what that might entail. That seems like a great conversation to have with a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Great call, Kate.
And possibly also other partners of people who might be serving,
mm-hmm,
or family members, people who might understand the position you are in.
Yeah.
I think it is also a conversation that you could eventually have with your partner, but I think I would first take it to a space that is like safe for you to truly express yourself without fear of any sort of like repercussion in your relationship. Does that make sense, Dory?
Mm-hmm. It does. It sure does.
Some advice on how to adjust to not being with him for long periods of time. Well, it's just really hard. And you are with a partner who's like working in a way that their safety is also more at risk than, like, for example, my husband was away for a long time, but he was like working on a TV show.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you have this added aspect of stress to it. But
yeah,
I think one, you know, talking and video chatting and sending videos, finding those like digital ways of communicating, but also mm-hmm finding other people who have been through it or are going through it on the partner yeah side of things.
Find a support system.
And a therapist again.
And a therapist again.
Now, what do you include in a homesickness first aid kit, Dory?
I mean, I love all of these ideas. I wonder if there's like a voice memo or something, like something of your voice that you could leave him, like maybe you reading to him or reading him a letter or something like that he could listen to. A handwritten note might be nice. I don't know. Do you have other ideas?
Like a little favorite. You said his favorite hot sauce is going in. Can like favorite snack be included? Of a favorite candy.
Yeah.
A handwritten note is fantastic. I think this is great. I think you nailed it personally.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think these are great ideas.
Yeah. But I think for you, you know, a community and also whatever, setting up routines and practices for you to have that are for you, you know, mm-hmm, and so that because your life is going to or should be enjoyable and fun and filled with joy, even without your partner present, like physically all the time. So,
yeah,
making sure you have those things, whatever they may be.
Good luck.
Yeah, we are thinking of you.
We really are.
Dory.
Yes, Kate.
It is, as always, a pleasure to speak with you, to hear from our listeners of this show. I mean, it is just the best.
Kate, truly the pleasure is mine.
No, Dory, 'tis mine.
Wow. All right. Well, if you insist.
I do. But thank you all so much for calling and writing in. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.